Missionary Enterprises once again, Missionary Aid International from Oshawa, Ontario, Canada. Today we are April 3rd, 2020, doing a teaching, a Skype teaching. Actually, we ended up doing on Messenger with our brothers in Abuja, Nigeria, Believers Conference. And the theme of the conference is next level mega shift. And in reality, in God, every level should be a shift towards or a shift upwards and not backwards, always upwards with God. But unfortunately, many times because of the flesh, because of wrong indoctrination, the warfare, we don't move forward or upward as much as we should in Christ. But that's our fault on our part. It has nothing to do with God. And you can't even blame the devil for it, because you've got authority over him. And you can't even blame fellow believers, because ultimately, your faith is in God. It's your walk with God. It's your personal walk with God that makes the difference. And a perfect example of that is even in making this video. I ended up having to make this video on my own. Whatever. But I knew I was supposed to do it. I had made the notes, prepared the notes ahead of time. They're great notes. Some of these things I haven't even touched on. I mean, some of these things I have touched on. But there's other things I'm going to be mentioning today in this video that I've never taught before on a video. So I'm kind of excited about it. So just want to make a note here concerning what Godwin, the brother who I'm connected with in Nigeria, in Abuja, one of the first things that he had shared with me on Messenger was that looking up to God, it's a good place to look. Don't look to man. Looking up to God for dramatic upward shift in the life of every participant as we launch into the second quarter of this year, which is 2020. And a lot of people make a big deal about 2020, like 2020 vision, whatever. But it's got nothing to do with the year. It's got to do with your faith. So if you've got more faith in a new year, then that's great. Things will be better. Things will be different. Things will be better. But if you don't have more faith, then things are going to be the same or it could get worse. So I don't put faith in a new year. God don't work with years. God works with faith. So number two here, he shared with me how a believer can come and apply his mustard seed faith. He mentioned that to me, mustard seed faith, to bring about a major turnaround for himself as well as for the body of Christ or the people that they're working with. A corporate turnaround, major turnaround. So I'll be touching on these things in this short video. Let's start here with the key words that he mentioned, dramatic upward shift. Keyword is dramatic upward shift. So Philippians, let's start with Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17, using the Amplified. Verse 12 says, Paul says, not that I have now attained or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me and made me his own. I've taught on this a little bit before. I'm not going to get into it now. Verse 13, I do not consider, brethren, that I've captured and made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. There we go. See, forget about the stuff behind, even the good things. Don't rest in your laurels. You got to move forward. You got to move forward with God. And because God is a God of forward motion, because of his whole plan of redemption, everything that he's already done positionally at the cross, everything he wants to do, not only in you, but through you and around you. The ministry, the calling he's given you, he's entrusted to you. Verse 14, Paul says, I press on towards the goal, to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling me upward. See, the Amplified has the word upward, and he mentioned in the key words, upward shift, dramatic upward shift. So it's got the word upward. Verse 15, so let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this in mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you also. You know, there's always somebody around you that's more mature than you, though there should be anyhow. In my case, that's not the case. But it's nice to be around people that are more mature than you. Just because you got more knowledge doesn't mean that person is more mature than you. But good knowledge is very helpful, beneficial in maturing you in the things of God, that's for sure. But the actual, that knowledge has to become, I guess I could call it experiential knowledge, or that knowledge could actually, has to be working from the inside of you, has to be put inside of you deep, strong, so that it's working in you and working through you so people can see the fruit of it. Verse 16, Paul says, only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that, which is really key. And brethren, verse 17, together follow my example and observe those who live after the pattern we have set for you. Now, I just want to make a note here is that the church, the leaders, quote unquote leaders in a local church or a ministry or a Bible school, whatever, they should have enough revelation, enough maturity, spiritual maturity, even maturity in just naturally as a human being. They should have enough maturity built on the inside of them, enough revelation, enough growth built on the inside of them that they become a pattern for you. And I got to admit, I've never had that in my life personally in the natural. I just never had somebody in front of me really that I could pattern my life after so that I can get to where I was, to where I need to be. But God, God became my pattern. That's ultimately, that's what we want. But God brought certain men into my life to become that pattern. And then eventually he kind of weaned me off of them because they had the right pattern before them. And they brought me to that pattern so that I can follow that pattern, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, but the indwelling spirit, becoming more dependent upon him and his word, the written word, becoming more dependent upon the word and what the word has to say about him and who I am and what I am and what he has done and what he wants to do. All these different things, all these great things in the word, going back to what he told me back in 2003, 2004, my word demands your full attention. So, very important here. I said here, I wrote here in my notes, you need to make these types of verses, we just read in Philippians, you need to make these types of verses your confession of faith. Most of us, well, I'd say all of us, and giving God something to work with supernaturally. So I'm just going to say here, most of us, when we start confessing the word, there's no faith in it. So when Paul is talking about, or even in Hebrews, the confession of your faith without wavering, holding fast, Hebrews 10:23, he's talking about the faith that's already built on the inside of you. And then when you're giving confession to it, you're giving voice to what you now believe. We need to hold fast to that. So just because you're confessing God's word doesn't mean you believe it. No. So there's been some teaching out there that's kind of been misleading. But the Lord has taught me better. So I remember when he told me, he says, the day you believe in your heart what you're saying with your mouth, you'll be operating out of Mark 11:23. So that's proof right there what I'm saying. And I got that from the Lord himself. So let's move on here. Key words that Godwin had mentioned was mustard seed faith. So I'm glad he mentioned that because I teach a lot on that. Well, I don't have a lot of teachings on it, but I do have a lot of notes on it. I'll be doing a lot of teaching on mustard seed faith. So these key words, mustard seed faith, has been greatly misunderstood I'd even say grossly misunderstood by far too many in the church. Jesus was talking about your faith growing as a seed of mustard, as all seeds need to be sown and planted so that they can grow or grow up producing a harvest. It's a no-brainer, but it still has to be taught. So let's get into Matthew 13:11 here. Matthew 13:11. Jesus said, and he replied to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." So the kingdom of heaven has secrets and mysteries to it. And we're going to unpack that a little bit here. Let's move on to verse 18 and 19. Jesus said, "Listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower." Verse 19, "While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one, the devil, the god of this world, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart." This is what was sown alongside the roadside. So I wrote here, if you keep reading verse 20 to 23 in Matthew 13, if you keep reading that, you'll see that it keeps mentioning the word, the word of God, meaning the word of the kingdom. So in the parables, when you see the word, he's talking about the word of the kingdom. Also, as the word is a seed. So let's move on here to same chapter. Let's move on to verse 31 and 32. 31 says, "Another story by way of comparison, Jesus set forth before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed.'" He's comparing the kingdom of God to a grain of mustard seed, "which a man took and sowed in his field," his heart. The field he's talking about here is the heart. And don't have time to get too much into that regarding the heart concerning, you know, we're spirit, soul, and body. So the spirit and the soul of man is what makes up the heart, the core of man. It's not just a spirit, it's a soul. If you read in Hebrews, it talks about the spirit, soul, and then talks about the heart of man. So, and let's just quickly, I just mentioned here James 1:21 concerning the soul, the implanted word, the word of the kingdom, same word. The word of God is the word of the kingdom. So the implanted word of the kingdom is able to what? Sozo. Save, deliver, transform your soul. Verse 32, all of the seeds, it is the smallest. When we start sowing the word, it's the smallest in your soil, in your heart. It's the smallest. But when it has grown, it is the largest of the garden herbs and becomes a tree. I've written a lot on that. No time to get into that right now. "So that the birds of the air come and find shelter in its branches." So the word of God has been given to us in seed form, has to be sown. It's the smallest to begin with. But if you keep sowing it, you keep nurturing it, you keep watering it, it's eventually going to grow, fully grow into a full tree. Yeah. That's the fully persuaded kind of faith. Let's move on to Mark 4, chapter 4. We're going to be looking first of all at verse 11. Mark 4 is one of my favorite regarding the parables. It's one of my favorite parables out of the three, Luke and Matthew and Luke. So Mark 4:11 says here, "And Jesus said to them, 'To you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God, that is, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly, but for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable.'" Verse 13 and 14 together, "And he said to them, 'Do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables," or all the other parables? So verse 14 here says, this is key here, "The sower sows the word." So you are the sower. You are the sower. You can listen to good tapes. You can listen to the word, obviously. Good preaching, you know, that's all part of it. But ultimately, you become the sower of the word concerning your own heart. Verse 28, 26, 27, and he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed, scatters the word upon the ground, meaning in his heart. Verse 27, and then continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed, the word, sprouts and grows and increases. He knows not how. I don't know how it grows inside of me. God knows how the soul works, how the word, the soul, it acts like a sponge. It assimilates. I don't have time to get into this whole process of assimilation, but how the soul assimilates the word or assimilates anything. Whatever you put in front of your soul the most, that's what it'll assimilate the most. So you got to be careful what you put in front of your eyes, what you put in your mouth, what you hear through your ears. So verse 28, the earth, the heart, produces acting by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. 30, Jesus said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God and its mysteries, or what parable shall we use to illustrate and explain it? Verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed, the word, he's talking about the word, where it is a seed, which when sown upon the ground or in your heart is the smallest of all seeds upon the earth. Verse 32, yet after it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all garden herbs and puts out large branches, etc. Okay, just a time sake here. Let's move on to Luke. Luke chapter 8. We're just going to look at verse 10 and 11. 10, Jesus said to them, to you it has been given to come progressively to know, to recognize and understand more strongly and clearly the mysteries and secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that though looking, they may not see, and hearing, they may not comprehend. Now the meaning, verse 11, now the meaning of the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. All right? So my final comments here is, first of all, my first comment here is in Romans 10:17, the word of God tells us that the faith of God, faith comes by hearing. The faith of God comes by hearing, listening to, sowing, meditating, confessing the word of God. That's a no-brainer. In order to have the faith of God, you need to get into the word of God and what God tells you. That's part of it. His promises, dreams, rhemas. Next point is, we just finished reading that the kingdom of God and the word of God has been given us in seed form. And we should all know by now that all seeds must be sown in order to have a harvest or a reaping. My next point here is, and this harvest must first take place in our own hearts, which is key to personal growth as well as personal dramatic upward shift, which is what Brother Godwin had mentioned, as well as personal major turnaround, which is something also that he had mentioned. When they mention these things, I like to build upon it. Obviously, if they're asking me to do a teaching on this, then I have to use those words and build upon them. And that's a sign of a good teacher. So my last point here concerning my final comments, in other words, in order to have a corporate harvest, each individual will first need to experience for themselves a personal harvest. And this goes for, you know, in all areas of your life. When you come together as a local church, when you come together as a Bible school, a class, even a Bible study, a home Bible study, whatever, you know, if you don't have a strong prayer life at home, or a strong word life, or a strong life of research, different things like that, then really you're not going to have a whole lot to contribute when you come together with your fellow brothers and sisters. Now, you may contribute something, but is it going to be a good contribution or a not so good contribution? Because everybody's got something to say, but not everything that people have to say is right or clear or accurate or precise concerning truth. So when you come, you want something to add to the group. You know, that's key. That's very important. And that's why personally, I many times, unfortunately, but that's just the way it is. I don't have a lot to share, or I don't look forward to getting together with certain people, because what I have to share, in many times, many cases, it's rejected because of their lack of revelation concerning truth. So they actually think that what I've got to share is not of God. Yet it is, the whole time it is. I've been through this, I don't know how many times, with people. So, but it's not going to stop me from going forward in what God has called me to be, as well as called me to do. So I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for watching our videos. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel. Thank you for on Facebook, our social media, the whole Instagram, LinkedIn, and so much more, live streaming, live journal, I should say, live streaming too on Facebook. Obviously, we're going to be doing a whole lot more podcasting. We're going to be doing a whole lot more as God opens up the doors. So I want to encourage you, first of all, shalom, and I want to encourage you to walk in the fullness of the grace of God that already belongs to you. Don't ask God for more grace, because all of the grace has been, if I can say, poured out at the cross. So find out what the Word says about grace, and renew your mind to what the Word says about grace, and then you will see a manifestation of His grace in your life, and your ministry, your calling.